you're here. Would you stand with me? And we're going to say this little prayer together. And then we're going to sing. Rick's going to lead us in worship. Let's say this. I'm thankful, blessed, and wanting God's best, wanting His will and nothing less. Let's sing.
Good morning. Welcome to worship. Thank you.
White with us today. Sam, would you open us with a word of prayer?
Kudos to you for that. Well, I am here today to talk to you a little bit about youth missions and youth mission trips. So, young people, I can't tell you enough how amazing it is to participate in youth mission trips. And you don't have to go away to participate in Mission Week. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that. Jeff's already introduced me, and he talked about how I do all the things I do. I don't really know. Actually, I do know. It's because the Lord Jesus Christ gives me the energy every single day.
Amen.
You know, how great is He? How great is our God? That's Him. So all credit, all glory goes to God. I'm just a vessel, and I try to stay out of His way long enough for Him to do something. So I'm here to encourage you and encourage your young people to get involved in youth mission trips. I started going on mission trips in 2003. I think I was a senior in high school, maybe. Our church had just gotten a youth pastor. And my friend said, hey, let's go to Mexico. The friends used to have a church there in Matamoros, Mexico, right across the border. And I said, no. I'm not going to Mexico. Why would I do that? Now, I'm from Yaqui County. I'm a good old country boy. I like to be at home, you know. So God had different plans. God worked on my heart a little bit. And I've already been saved. And I've just been kind of going through church. I got involved in a youth group. We got a youth pastor. She started getting us out of the four walls, getting us involved in some other things. And I said, okay, fine. I will go to Mexico with you. I've been on a mission trip every year since 2003.
Right.
And I don't say that just to say it's something I do, because I didn't want to go. But God prepped my heart. God in my heart. Anybody ever had God get in your heart and make you do something you didn't want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Well, God got on me, got on my case, and He said, here, you need to go. When we went to Mexico, we got down there and I saw a nice, great house right beside a shanty. People living in just poverty. We would go out to what they called the village, and we would provide Bible school. And kids would come. Some kids would come walking, no parents, nobody around. Some moms would come bringing the kids. Some grandmas would come bringing the kids, but no dads, no grandpas. The kids would come, though, and people would get them there. And there was a language barrier. Now, Yadkin County, I don't speak Spanish. I'm in Mexico. God has a sense of humor, I believe, you know? But God can work. God's love is a universal language. And when we would come and just love on those kids and provide games and crafts, and there was a pastor there who would tell the story in Spanish, so he would translate for us. So we did. God did provide that for us. But love, God's love is a universal language. And that's what we want to show to others. And those kids would just come and they would jump up on us and we'd hug them and love on them and play games and have fun with them all week long. And then at the end of the week, we all had tears in our eyes because the boy who didn't want to go to Mexico had now found a new calling, a new love, and it's to go and share God's message with other people. And you don't have to be well-educated. You don't have to be well-equipped to do this. God will give you all you need. All you have to do is have a heart that says, yeah, okay, I'll go. And even if you don't, God's going to work on it and say, yeah, you need to go. But that's how my first experience with mission trip started, was going to Mexico. We went there 2 more years after that. The third year we were to go was, I think it was when Hurricane Emily was to hit right in Matamoros. So we had to go in, drop our supplies off, and leave. Talk about downhearted and sad. So we went back to Houston, and we did local missions there in Houston. We were literally flying by the seat of our pants, a bunch of kids from rural North Carolina in Houston, Texas, trying to find things to do for a week to serve a mission. So we did some. We found some God provided. We found organizations that would allow kids to come in and serve. We stopped in Alabama on the way back. The friends had a center in Alabama. And we painted a fence that was about 400 miles long in the Alabama heat in July at the Friends Center there. And because of that, it revived an experience. God, this is what God did. God revived an experience there and renewed that center. And after that, they had summer groups for youth groups to come down every summer for several years after that. And remember, that was the trip that we were supposed to be in Mexico, and a hurricane hit, and we got run out. And so this was completely God's plan, was that we weren't supposed to be in Mexico. We were supposed to be doing missions along the way. But after that, every year we do something different. Like I said, I'm the youth pastor. This is my 10th year doing this, and I don't know any more now than I did on year one, I don't think. You know, but God uses me in spite of all that. So I want to tell you a little bit. A few years back, several years back now, they started an organization in Yadkin County called Impact Yadkin. And what they do is, there was a couple of churches that were away in Maryland, I believe, doing some mission work. They were working, doing home repair projects. And they looked around and said, you know what, why couldn't we do this at home? You know, we take our groups away every year, and we go to this other location, and we split up in groups, and we go out to different home sites, and we'll either, you know, we'll put on a roof, we'll build a porch, we'll build a wheelchair ramp, we'll do some yard work, we'll paint the house, whatever's needed. Why can't we do this at home in our community? And so they put their heads together, and God, again, provided resources, and they started this organization called Impact Yadkin. Now, my youth groups have participated in Impact Yadkin 3 or 4 times. They do it every other year. It's not every year. We do it in Yadkin County locally. And so about 700 or 800 students will come together at the middle schools and the high schools. They're right beside of each other now. And so we'll split off. The girls will stay at the middle school and the guys at the high school. And we'll base camp there at the school all week. Now, you haven't lived until you've spent a week with 800, 900 people in a school together. You sleep there in the school, you bathe there in the school, you eat there in the school, and in the day you go out and work with these people. But they came up with this model, so we'll have about 70 teams of 8 or 9 students, and they're all, you know, from usually 12th grade or 12 years old and up through high school and even in college. They'll go out and we'll get split up, 5 or 6 of us will go out to a work site. We'll go and we'll build a porch. I don't know anything about building. God has a sense of humor. But God puts people in the crews who knows about building. And so we'll be able to build a porch in a week, who knows, with kids and me. I'm just as bad as, you know, I don't know as bad as kids, I think. So that's what we'll do. That's what Impact Yadkin is about. And every night we come back to the school and we have dinner together, and local churches will come in and they'll provide food for the whole group. They pair up and they'll feed the group out of the school cafeteria. And we have worship together. And this is key right here. We all get together in the gym and we worship together. We sing songs, we listen to the pastor, whoever God has put there for the week. And then after that, we go into our youth group devotions. And we talk about our week, what God has done through the week, what God has done through the mission week. How has God moved among you? How has God moved among your friends? And adults, I know I'm a youth pastor and I'm talking a lot to young people, but our adults get involved in these trips or in these weeks. They have to, you know, our church will take on a crew and we'll feed 4 or 5 crews. So they'll come to the church, they'll eat lunch during the week while they're out working on the work sites. They'll stop at lunch, come to the church, eat. So that's the way our church gets involved. They have a prayer team. If those folks are not able to physically do some of the other things, they're on the prayer team, the most important team. Because nothing we do shouldn't be covered first with God's prayer. Amen. Because that's what makes it happen. We want to be discerning God's will. We want to talk to God about it and say, God, what would you have us to do? So there's all kinds of ways for everybody to get involved. It's a church-wide effort. Now, something we do on the off years, I told you Impact's every other year, we go with an organization called Group Mission Trips. And they have organizations all over the U.S. They have work camp weeks, which is kind of the same thing as Impact Deacon. You're going out, you're repairing homes or building ramps or whatever it may be. But they also have something a little different called Week of Hope. Now, God's hope, right? And sharing God's love provides hope into communities. So Week of Hope is where we go and we do community service with partner organizations in a city. And so we've been to Pittsburgh, where we did all kinds of Boys and Girls Clubs. We went to nursing homes. We helped with different things there. We've been to Cincinnati, where we went to a place called Matthew 25 Ministries. And they're a humanitarian relief organization there in Cincinnati. So they do everything. People would send old paint that's sitting around in your garage. Anybody got any old paint sitting around in your garage that you, you know, used half of and now it's sitting there for 145 years? Well, you send that paint to Matthew 25, they have us mix it and pour it all together. And when these places that hurricanes or earthquakes or whatever come in and just destroy homes, they ship those gallons of paint there so that when homes are rebuilt, they have paint painted with it. So things that we don't think of as just sitting around. Ladies, now this is not a fun thing, but they would send feminine products. And all those guys had to help sort through these feminine products. Because just think about it. When your life has been destroyed, your home has been destroyed, you lose everything. It's those small things that you take for granted. Socks, shoes, clothes. We sorted through all that. These are the kind of things. And it turns out, we got to talking to them, they sent supplies to Greensboro years ago when the tornadoes came and did such great damage in Greensboro. They sent supplies there. So you may go and serve in another city, but you may be getting something back in your home state by serving in these other places. So every other year, we go away. And I do this because it teaches the kids that, yes, there's home missions that we need to be doing. You need to be taking care of your neighbors right here in your community. But also, let's get away and let's go on this camp together and let's go serve people in another location. Because if you think about it, when Jesus sent the disciples out, where did he tell them to go first?
Jerusalem.
Jerusalem. Then Judea and Samaria. And then what was the last location?
The world.
The ends of the world. Very good. It was an ever-widening circle, wasn't it? But he said, you start in Jerusalem and take care of your home people. And then he said, you start going out and go out and go out and go out and to reach to the ends of the earth with the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's going to provide hope to people in the communities. So every other year we go away. I've taken a group to the Navajo Reservation in Arizona. Talk about an ordeal to plan. Get 19 people from North Carolina to a remote location in Arizona on the Navajo Reservation. These are not just your average Joe Americans from the country. It's with the Navajo. It's a completely different culture, completely different set of customs and rules. But it was so awesome. That's the hardest trip we've ever been on, but it was so awesome. We had to plan a Bible school in 20 minutes with no supplies. God has a sense of humor. And we did it. We did it through God's help. And the resources that God provided, it was amazing. People would go out and would work out there in the desert digging a big hole for a well or whatever they were trying to do. God provided the resources. So we've done everything from right in our back door, I've literally worked miles from my house, to Arizona. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter where you are, but God wants to use you. And God wants to get a hold of your heart, and he wants to take you out of these four walls, and he wants you to reach your community, and communities beyond here also. Now, why do we do this? We do it to spread the gospel, to provide the hope of Jesus Christ. Because he loves us, and we want other people to do it. Another reason we do it is to grow closer together in fellowship. Now, I joke about how you haven't lived till you spend a week with kids in tight quarters, but, you know, pile in a van and ride for 10 hours with kids, it's an interesting day. But let me tell you something. When you're trapped together for 10 hours, you have to learn a little bit about each other. And God uses that to pull you together. And in my youth group, there are a bunch of crazy girls. You know, I don't have many boys right now. I've got one or two kind of come periodically. I've got a bunch of crazy girls. And I love them. Again, God has a sense of humor. Got me and a bunch of girls. And my wife is as much of a partner in that ministry as well. They love her. I think they like her better than me. And who can blame them? But they have grown so much. And especially since we've combined our youth groups. And when we go on these trips, they grow together. And they come away with memories. They laugh and they joke. And we've got adults that go now. They see how much fun and how much spiritual growth we have and how excited they are when they come back. And the adults say, Jared, can we go on the mission trip with you? And I say, yeah, absolutely, because that's another set of hands to watch over these crazy girls. And it's another way to watch people in your church grow together with the youth. To come around your youth and love on them. So parents, it's not just your obligation to get them here and to love on them. It is a church-wide obligation that we come around all of our youth and we love on them and we show them what it means to be good characters in Christ. And the reason we do this also is because Christ commanded it. Matthew gives us a great picture. Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you will be your servant. God, Jesus is laying out the heart of a servant is that you have to humble yourself to serve other people, to see others. Matthew 25:45, truly I tell you, as much as you did to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. God is calling us to go and serve other people. And a lot of those people may be less fortunate than us. We've seen kids who come and they don't have any parents in life. They don't have anybody who really cares for them. Somehow they get to where we're working. And they spend the week with us and we love on them. And by the end of the week, they're absolutely heartbroken and in tears that we have to leave and go home. But for that week, from Saturday or Sunday to Friday, they've been loved. They've been fed, both spiritually and physically. If you feed the tummy, you can feed the heart. And we've got to have that avenue of ministry for a week. Adult daycare centers we've been to. There's been adults who don't really have family. They come there every day just to have somebody to hang out with. We play cards with a bunch of old guys. Boy, that was an education. But let me tell you something. It spoke life into them for a week. They got to tell stories to us. And young people, ask your grandparents or ask some elderly folks in the church. Ask them about how they grew up. Do not let this generation pass. Ask them. Not only does it enrich your life, but it gives them an opportunity to pour into you and to tell you about what God did in their life. And I want to tell you, I've heard some amazing stories in my time, and I'm getting a little emotional about it, just thinking about some of the people we've got to encounter on these trips. And then finally, Jesus commands us to go. Matthew 28. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and remember I'm with you always till the very end of the age. God's commanded us to go and to serve and to love other people. And when we do that, we're being obedient to his calling on our lives. So, I've got just a little short slideshow I'm going to try to flip through. I don't know if I can or not, but you may have to do it, Tim, if you... So I asked some of my youth group members to send me some testimonials, and I didn't prompt them. I didn't tell them what they had to say or what they could say. I didn't edit anything that was not appropriate enough. They didn't have anything like that. I'm just kidding. This is what one of them said. What a summer mission trip means to me is to be able to help out people in need and to have the fellowship of other Christians. It impacts my life because I'm able to get closer to the Lord and I'm able to meet new people along the way. This was a porch we completed in Yadkin County, just a few miles from where I live, from Deep Creek Friends. I had some other pictures, but they won't come through. But that's the porch that God was able to build through us who didn't know anything. And this was an elderly lady who couldn't really get out of her house. And her porch was falling down, and the boards were rotten. So we were able to come in with God's help and to build her a new porch. Another one of my youth members, this is Casey. Casey's very young. She started coming to us when she was young, and she has grown so much. She was a really little shy girl, liked to read, was kind of reclusive, wouldn't say a lot, and now she's just blossomed into this drama queen, and I love her. Things like church camp and mission trips prove to me that there's something more than just regular life. The mission trip brought me closer to not only the people I was with, but God as well. I got to see how God impacted others' lives too. This is Matthew 25 Ministries. As you're going in the door to that organization, it says servant's entrance. And it has that Matthew 23:11. You know, he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. This was an awesome organization. It was in Cincinnati. We had a lot of good fun there, but it was also providing a lot of practical life things for people who've had disaster happen in their life. Maggie says, I would definitely recommend going on a summer mission trip. Every year I look forward to going on these trips, and it truly is an amazing experience. You get to see God work throughout the week. And being at a different place, spreading God's word is a feeling like no other. Not only do you get closer with God, you form a stronger bond with the people you go with. Personally, my youth group and I have a very close bond, and going on mission trips just makes those bonds stronger. We love each other endlessly, and I would hate for anyone to miss out on these opportunities. I hope you will consider going on a summer mission trip because they are amazing. Matthew 25, Maggie's another one of my drama queens. This is when we were in Arizona at the Navajo Reservation, and this is one of the examples of where you pile into a small van, and you ride together, and you have crazy fun because there's nothing else to do. And you make up all kinds of crazy games, but... Again, here's the passage from Matthew where Jesus is commanding us to go. But all this to say that I hope you'll consider it, especially as you're going through your mission month, consider what God may have you to do as Kernersville friends. How would God have you to serve? Where would God have your youth to go? And what would you do? You don't have to go anywhere big and fancy. You can serve right here in Kernersville. You're also welcome to come join us in Yakin County anytime you want to. I'll be around after.
Thank Jared. Will you please? Let's pray over this ministry. Father God, we thank you for his presence here today. We thank you for Jared's efforts and his ministry and his work with young people over in his area. And Lord, we pray that we can support that in some way. Lord, I'd love for our kids to get involved in things like this. But Lord, we just thank you for what this man has done, his family has done, his church family, and we just can ask your continued blessing over it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother. Thanks for being here. I imagine we lived in Kernersville about 30 years before we ever darkened the door at Kerners Folly. Kim worked in Winston, and I worked way over on the other side of Greensboro, and by the time we got home tonight, I wouldn't even have to do anything to go to bed. Now, we did darken the door of Susie's Diner occasionally. Anybody ever seen, you remember Susie's Diner? Man, we spent a lot of time in there. We probably spent way too much money doing that and not enough saving for the first baby that came along. Because we didn't have anything by the time Jared showed up. But we did eat, and we ate pretty good. Listen, finding things around home is a good thing. Sometimes we ignore what's going on right in our backyard. And we need to stay focused. We need to be a little bit intentional. Over time, we found out that there is really some cool stuff going on and that you can discover just by shopping locally. Cool people you can meet by touring the Folly. That's a nice event. You can go do that. Seeing the little museum over here and getting to know the lady who runs that. And just walk through town to go see it. It's pretty neat. Seeing the festivals and the car shows and the Follies and the Honeybee and the Oktoberfest. I mean, there's stuff all the time. And it seems like the more time we spend investing locally and investing in our community, the more that gets reciprocated. We all of a sudden discover that there are blessings to be had from that. Seems like that's kind of a God thing. Didn't he say that he would bless us when we blessed others? When we invest in other people, he kind of rains down blessing on us as a way of the gratitude he sees or gives for doing what we are asked to do in this kingdom. Supporting our neighbors eventually gets reciprocated. I want you to remember this. The world begins. The world begins at your doorstep. When you walk down the steps and step out into your neighborhood, you're beginning a part of what we've been talking about for the last few weeks, your staycation. Staying close to home. We talked about that in the first week. Getting Jesus right here at home in you and ministering to your own family. And then last week we talked about staying committed, staying connected, and a lot of other C words, 10 ways that we can be intentional about ministry around here. And then today is the third one, and we're going to be talking about walking down those steps of your front porch, stepping out on the driveway, going up to the neighborhood, and just investing in people. That's what we're called to do. We're going to talk in a little bit about something I like to call the Jerusalem walk because of what Jared said. He just mentioned we are called to serve at home first. Jerusalem was their home. Jerusalem was where God said, look, stay here, do this, work here, then go to Judea and Samaria, then go to the rest of the world. Get it in the right order because remember what I told you my dad said weeks ago? You got to sweep your own backyard before what? Before you sweep other people's backyard. Take care of home. Take care of your neighborhood. Take care of your town. As a church family, we've got a job to do that. We are one. We are united in God's spirit. So when we step out down those doorsteps and we walk out, we have a church neighborhood that needs to be cared for. And as a church, we go out and support some different organizations here. And we're going to be going out later in October. I've got some more things for us. I'll share that with you later. But we're going to be getting out of our doors and doing some things to invest in our neighbors. And today I'm going to ask you to do the same thing in just a few minutes. But let me share a couple of things with you. The plan that Jesus outlined in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said that you need to be witnesses first in Jerusalem. Don't forget that. It's very important. Our influence begins at home. That's where it starts. With your own children, with your own parents, with your own family that comes in your doors. That's where your influence starts. And then it goes out to your neighborhood and your town. Some people, like Jared, have extended that eventually into other states and other countries. And that's great. We need to be working toward that. And just like there are undiscovered sites maybe in town that you haven't seen yet, maybe you haven't visited the museum or been to a car show, just like there's undiscovered things there, there are undiscovered neighbors in your community who are looking for church homes. They got hurt at some time. They haven't been in church in a long time. For whatever reason, they've given up on church. Or maybe COVID has driven them to church, and now all they want to do is watch it on Facebook. And they're missing the corporate worship experience. There are people who have yet to be discovered by us out here who need our prayers and who need to be served and who need to be invited. I'd love to get believers who have not found a church home to come and join us here. I think we've got a lot to offer. I hope you do. Psalms 139:16 says that all our days are written down in advance in God's book. The important thing here in that verse is he knows what he's planned for us. He's told us what his plans are for us. We need to be confident that when we step into his world, into the kingdom, and serve him, we are following his plan. It's who we're supposed to be. And we're not supposed to worry about being that tomorrow or next week or next month. Let's worry about being that today. Let's focus on today. We can do that. If you just focus one day at a time and figure out what you're going to do to serve him or to bless somebody or to pray for somebody or take a dish of food to somebody, or to just walk hand in hand with somebody down the street and visit for a while, or meet somebody at Panera for coffee, whatever it takes, today. Whatever he crosses your path with. I prayed a few weeks ago, I dared God to cross your path with somebody that needed your testimony. Now, I don't know if that happened, but he's going to do it. He wants you to share what you have and what you've learned about him with others. One of the, I guess maybe theological term for this is called redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. God gives us all X amount of hours. He's planned all of our days. It's our job to redeem that time for his kingdom. I'll give you an example. My son is a police officer. You know that back when he was on patrol and he had a suspect in the back seat, he'd get in the car and turn K-Love on really loud. And if they had questions or started cussing or whatever, he would always speak some truth into them. Just take the time to talk to them about what it means to have a better heart and to do something for others rather than trying to be selfish. I mean, it just turn that K-Love on, let the music speak. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. It'll soften your heart. And it worked. He redeemed the time. The short period of time he had from the time he got the guy in the car to the time he got to the jailhouse was all he had with that guy. He wanted to leave something positive. Redeem the time. When I first came about a year and a half ago, I passed out all these little bracelets with the four on them, and I talked to you guys about your elevator speech. Redeem your time. Know what you're going to say when somebody asks you about that bracelet. You've only got a few seconds. You might have 60 or 80 seconds before that elevator stops and they go off. You've got to have an elevator speech. You've got to know exactly what God's going to want you to share when they read your Christian t-shirt, or they see you carrying your Bible, or they see a wristband on your wrist that talks about something they don't know about. Redeem the time. Use it wisely. We've got a lot of ways to connect with people. All kinds of social media, all kinds of emails and texts and IMs and everything. I mean, there's lots of ways to redeem the time and speak into people's lives if you want to take advantage of those things. And you should. Because this is what we're supposed to be doing for our neighbor in Jerusalem, at home. This is what we do here. You know, at one point, some guys were trying to mess with Jesus' brain. That's not a good idea, usually. We find out in the Bible. But they said, who's my neighbor? And then he told a story about a guy that got beat up, battered up, and left for dead on the side of the street. And some people would walk along and just kind of step around him and move around and ignore him. And then some guy shows up and decides to bend down and help the fellow. And he looks at the other guy and said, that's your neighbor. That's your neighbor. Which one of those people are you going to be? You're going to walk by these houses and ignore them? You're going to walk by the people in the street and ignore them, just kind of glance and move on? Or are you going to actually stop and say, are you okay? I don't mean to be nosy, but are you hurting? Can I pray for you? Or can I help get you something? Get a bottle of water. Help people. It is our conduct and our behavior that speaks most loudly, not necessarily our words. Be willing to stop and help somebody. Be a good neighbor. When you serve the Lord, you don't have to be anywhere but right where you are then.
That's good.
You don't have to be anywhere special. Just right where you are at that moment is when you can serve your neighbor. If you look around, you'll find some people that haven't connected with the church yet. You'll find some people who need relationship. And I pray that we get this burden for our neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods are full of people who need to be discovered and who need to be loved. Watch this video real quick, please. That's a Jerusalem walk. I gave it that name, and I stole this idea from another pastor who also stole it from a book he read. So, you know, there's nothing that you can't get away with as a preacher. You can steal about anything you want. Preachers, teachers, and coaches, they're allowed to do that. This is called a door hanger. You've seen them in hotels before and other places. Just hang it on a doorknob. Here's what it says. We have prayed for your home and those who live here today. It was a privilege. May God bless you and keep you safe. Amen. Walk up, hanging on the door. Did that look complicated? That's easy. It took us less than an hour to get with Tim, come over and do that, and go over and do it at Amy's house with Tiffany and Rel. And it literally took just a few minutes to do the two or three houses we did. And I got long driveways. Bless your heart, if you live in a neighborhood where they got those little short driveways, and you don't have to go far to the door. That's great. But look, here's the point. The Jerusalem walk. Serving right there in your hometown first. In your neighborhood first. My challenge to you is that at the end of the service, everybody who's willing in this church, and we need at least 18 because there's 18 packs up here, I want 1,000 of these delivered. I've actually given a few of them away to other people as Sabbath, so it'll be like 990. I want 1,000 of these delivered before Christmas. It's easy to do. There's 50 in each pack. If you decide I'm going to do 5 houses this week, and you do that every week for 10 weeks, you're done. Or maybe you've got enough energy to go out on a Thursday afternoon or a Thursday evening or whenever and do 10 houses. Then you'll be done in less time. You can sit at your table and spread them out and pray over them for each of your neighbors that this heart's going to touch. And then just walk by and have a grandkid go up, or you can walk up and hang on the doors. Or you can do like Kim and I did, and we just walked to 3 neighbors and stood in front of each home at the mailbox and just prayed over that house. In fact, I even wrote you a prayer. If you have a hard time, some people do, have a hard time framing up the words they need to say. This little prayer simply says, Father, we lift this house to you. Bless it and make it a home for all who live here. Bless each one with love, peace, and joy. Help them to know your presence. And Lord, we pray that each person here has a saving knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can stand right there at the mailbox and read that. You can do it by yourself. You can do it with your spouse. You can do it with grandchildren or children. You can do it by yourself if you want. There are no rules, only 2 things. You know, Jesus was really cool. He took all 655 Levitical rules plus the 10 commandments and narrowed them down to 2 things. Love me, love God, love others. There's only 2 rules in this. Pray and hang the thing. That's 2 rules. I don't care where you pray over it, how you pray over it. I don't care how many houses you do this day or that day. You pray and you hang it. And just let people know you were there. Now, we signed them. Kim and I put our names right here on the card just so the neighbors would say, hey, Jeff and Kim prayed for you. You don't have to sign it. That's okay. But if you could, that'd be great. Sign it. Let people know that somebody with a name, they probably don't even know you, but somebody with a name named Jeff and Kim prayed for me and prayed for this house today. I want to tell you, this is one of the best things I have ever seen to take us outside our comfort zone just a little bit and begin to grow us into some outreach that has some real impact. And I believe when you pray for people, it has impact. So I'm challenging you, after I pray, after we end this service, we're not going to have a closing song. I'm going to ask Becky to do just a little piano tinkling here. And I'm going to ask you, as we close, to come up and pick up a pack of these. If you think you can take 2 packs, take them. Maybe you don't think you can do 50, but you believe you can do 25. You're a little bit old. Maybe you don't want to walk that much. Your knees just aren't there anymore. Share them with somebody. Get somebody else to help you with them. Okay? It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait to see how it impacts you and how God blesses you because of your prayers for other people. So I want to pray over this effort right now while Becky plays. And then after my prayer, while she plays, we're going to be dismissed. I'm going to dismiss you, and you can come pick up one of these and go. We do have ministry and counseling right here afterwards, so those of you who need to stay for that, please do. All right? Will you stand with me? Let's pray over this effort. Oh God, you are our God. We love you. We thank you. We ask your blessing over all of these cards. We ask your blessing over the effort that people are about to make to connect with their neighbors simply by praying for them. And Lord, honor the effort. Would you please, we beg you, honor this effort and demonstrate your favor and your blessing over us. Just let the Holy Spirit flow in and through us as we try to serve you in this simple way. I can't imagine a better thing to do than to pray for our neighbor. We're going to do that here in Jerusalem. We're going to take our Jerusalem walk. And then perhaps in the future we can walk to Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the world, the ends of the earth. We love you. We thank you. And as we're dismissed today, I pray that you speak to hearts and convict hearts about this process and this effort. And I pray that you just pour out your blessing over us all and then we'll claim it in Jesus' mighty name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.